All right, we are in the book of Revelation, chapter 11. But you know, when I prepare the messages, I have a lot of things on my mind through the week when I observe what's happening in the news and so forth. And it's a little difficult for me to divide what to put in the message and what to, because it doesn't always relate. So I thought this morning I'm just going to say what I want to say and then we'll do the message. Is that all right? I was going to do a whole first service, kind of a perspectives, sort of a what's the Bible have to say and what's happening in the world now. But it's one of those challenging things that if you don't explain to people or if they don't understand the basic things about what's happening in our society, they will think that you're weird. And what we've seen happen over the past year is so perverse and so diabolical. And what we're seeing happen today is not any better. It's even getting worse and worse. And much of it has to do with this vaccine, and I want to talk to you about that for a short time. See, the Bible tells us to be a watchman on the wall. And if we see danger coming, the scripture tells us that we have to notify, we have to shout, we have to sound the alarm, blow the trumpet, whatever it is. And what we've seen happen in the world is a pandemic, I put that in quotation marks, because the actual numbers of the virus are so mild that it's like a bad flu, and we've known that for a year. But the push and the coercion for what is being deemed as a savior of sorts in the vaccine is very dark, and it's so aggressive that it gives anybody with any ounce of discernment pause to say, why? Why are we being offered beer and donuts to get this vaccine? You know, this is a good question. Oh, sorry about the seats. Find a spot. This past week, my friend on Sunday, he had been feeling ill for about a week. And Sunday, he went to the emergency room. He couldn't breathe. They tested him for COVID. He was positive. They sent him home with no treatment, no prescriptions, no protocol, no advice. They didn't ask him about vitamin C, vitamin D, quercetin, zinc, all of these things. They didn't talk to him about ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine. They didn't talk to him about budesonide. They didn't talk to him about dexamethasone. They just sent him home. And I thought the colossal medical negligence that that represents after 1 year of having this virus is criminal. It's criminal. It is criminal. And then when you weigh that and compared to the push and the promotion of this experimental vaccine, and we don't necessarily need to call it a vaccine, but because everybody else is, we'll just use that term for their sake. But really what it is, it's a medical device. It's been likened to gene therapy. It's unused before. We don't know about it. But there are ways of finding out how safe it is, because really it's not FDA approved, and everybody who's taking it is a guinea pig. Now, when I talk about these things, I know that there are people in the church that have been vaccinated for COVID-19. And I know, I mean, the first person that I knew who got it, I asked him, and hey, he's my neighbor. He's, you know, he's in the world. He doesn't think the way believers do. But I said, hey, I heard you got the jab. And he said, what do you think? It's the mark of the beast? And I said, no, but people are so afraid because of our warnings about this that they feel like if they get it, then they've received the mark of the beast. I don't believe that they have, but the elements of coercion and pressure are so powerful for this thing. It's almost undeniable that it is a precursor to the mark of the beast. And that's just my opinion as a pastor, and I've been studying the Word of God for 40 years in prophecy. I'm so steeped and deep in these things that when I see articles, I filter them through this prophetic grid, this lens. And while on one hand, there is this criminal negligence about the actual treatments, because COVID-19 is not deadly and there is no pandemic. You need to realize that, and you need to think that way, and you need to speak that way. And you as believers need to be a light in this world and start preaching against this darkness. There is no pandemic. For something to be a pandemic, it has to account for 6% of the deaths over the course of a period of time. Over the last year, it's only accounted for about 3.5% and not 6%. There has never been a pandemic in Hawaii, ever, by the numbers. But the other area that's concerning is that while every government agency and social media company is pushing this other treatment while neglecting actual therapeutics, should make you suspicious. My daughter works for a bank here in Hawaii, and she was brought in this past week to be told that they would be requiring the vaccine to work there. Now, she won't do that, but the level of coercion is heavy. It's palpable. It's powerful. Now, there are about 14 dominant variants of COVID out there, and the original Wuhan strain has all but disappeared. It's not there. It's the United Kingdom variant that is most dominant now, but the vaccine or the gene therapy or the medical device that's called the vaccine is coded to the original wild virus so that it actually only provides a very limited spectrum of coverage. So people that get the vaccine will get sick anyway. It's quite probable. And they can transmit. It doesn't prevent you from getting infected, and it doesn't prevent you from transmitting the disease. You should know this. So it doesn't prohibit or stop anybody from wearing a mask and social distancing. But this continues to be this narrative that we're living under, that, well, now if you get the vaccine and you go outside, they say, then you can not wear a mask. Or just be free from the garbage idiocy of the whole thing. Go outside without a mask. Tell people stop wearing a mask. Stop participating in this Nazi regime. Stop participating in this Gestapo regime. Stop it. Enough with it. And you as Christians, you need to be a light in this world, and you need to tell people to strip off and end the masquerade. Because what's happening is now is the vaccine is the new mask. And your virtue signaling will be deemed by how much you succumb to this government global narrative. And right now, every nation on planet Earth is under attack by this globalist narrative and this pharmaceutical narrative, this promoting and pushing all over the world. By the way, if somebody is, and this is the weirdest thing, is they're promoting this for pregnant women and nursing women. And even contrary to every shred of medical reason and logic, they're promoting it for people who have had COVID-19. Now, if you got SARS-CoV-1 back in 2003, studies have shown that you are still immune to it 17 years later. But not only are you immune to that, you're immune to COVID-19, SARS-CoV-2, the second iteration of that. You still have blanket immunity to both. So the natural immunity that you have, if you had COVID, which I have, praise God I had, because I have the gold standard, the platinum standard of immunity. God's natural immunity is way better than the vaccine. The vaccine doesn't really even work. But people are being told to get the vaccine even after they got COVID. Now, this is insanity. This is insanity. And we have to stand up in our culture and say, this is insanity. And we have to wonder, why are they pushing this? Why? What is the end game? What is the result? Is it just pharmaceutical companies that want to make big bucks? And by the way, do you think the pharmaceutical companies mind if the vaccine becomes mandated? Of course not. They're the big gorilla in the room, and the lobbyists in Washington, they want this to be mandatory. Are you kidding me? It will not slow down unless you slow it down, unless you stop it, unless you sue your employer for trying to make you get this vaccine, this experimental device. But here's the other thing, that even though these things are being recommended for those who have recovered, those who are nursing or pregnant, it's never been done before, and it's against all science. Now, when a new drug comes out, and it results in 5 deaths, that requires that drug manufacturer to give what's called a black box warning. They have to warn that this can cause, as a side effect, death. You'll hear it on the radio. You'll hear the drug ads. You know, you remember they give you an ad. Have you ever heard an ad for, like, constipation or antidepressant? And it's always funny to me, you know, at the end, they give you the list of things that it could cause, and it's way worse than what they're treating. May cause diarrhea, suicidal thoughts, death, you know, it gives the whole thing. It's like, I'm just trying to deal with my indigestion here. But when there is a black box warning, you have to give this warning. Now, in the 70s, there was a swine flu. In 1976, they developed a vaccine for it. They administered it to 55 million people. 25 people died, so they yanked it from the market. I want you to pay attention to these numbers. Write them down if you need to. Remember them. In 1976, because 25 people died from a new vaccine, they pulled it from the market. But right now, there is a system in the United States where you can report an adverse effect, a vaccine adverse effect reporting system. It's the VAERS reporting system. Even though pharmaceutical companies are immune from, hate to use that pun, they're not liable for damages because Congress has made them completely, you cannot sue the manufacturer if your relative dies because of this. But by the way, you can sue the employer that forced them to do this. And this is what needs to happen across the country right now is people need to start suing employers because people are dropping like flies in the United States because of this vaccine. The VAERS system, after only about 4 months and about 80 million people who have gotten the vaccine, is over 3,500. I want you to get that. A vaccine was pulled in 1976 for causing 25 deaths. Right now, the COVID vaccine has caused 3,500 deaths, not in a year, but in the first third of the year. 3,500 deaths as of about a week ago. On top of that, there have been reported over 100,000, about 120,000 other adverse effects. The Johnson & Johnson vaccine was pulled because of blood clots. Little do people know that the other vaccines are 30 times worse as far as blood clots. I've already done funerals for people who have died after getting the vaccine. And the strange thing is that everybody who died from COVID in 2020, no matter what it was, gunshot wound, car accident, you know, oh, they had COVID, counted a COVID death. But now people that are dying as a result of this shot, all of a sudden, we don't know. It's no connection to the vaccine. But so far, and the VAERS system only accounts for up to 1 to 10% of the actual numbers. That is because it takes a medical professional to get into the system and report it for you. So it's drastically underreported. In fact, from openvaers.com, it says this is a reporting system that takes those numbers and presents it. It says the vaccine adverse event reporting system has been estimated to account for only 1% of vaccine injuries. So I want to do a little math for you. So consider the numbers. If indeed, as of the 23rd of this month, 4/23/21, there were 3,544, just extrapolate the numbers. If that's only 1/10, you're talking about 35,000 people. If it's only 1%, it's 350,000 people. Here's the thing, as people have been looking at the numbers, say that 74% of these numbers are from January and December alone. These numbers are astronomical. They're climbing through the roof like nothing we've ever seen, and there's not a peep out of government agencies and social media. And so many people have been saying that what we are witnessing is in fact crimes against humanity and genocide. The government, coupled with pharmaceutical companies, are promoting something that is killing people with no warning. It's incredible. It's so diabolical. And that isn't even from what the vaccine or medical device or gene therapy will do to you. It's only adverse effects from the shot itself. What will happen when those people encounter the native or the original virus again? Well, when they tried to develop a vaccine for this back in 2003, they quit because all the animals died. They weren't able to do it. We don't know what will happen. We don't know, but what we do know is that the shot itself is killing people and nobody is saying anything. The fox is guarding the hen house. Your government is your enemy at this point in time. They are killing people deliberately without warning. And I know what this sounds like. If somebody just came in off the streets and they hadn't paid any attention to these things, it's crazy. But what's going to happen is the Nuremberg trials are going to be repeated. These manufacturers, these government agencies, I just read an article today that said there have been no adverse effects. Nobody has died from the COVID vaccine. That was on Reuters. Reuters reported that. That author is liable. The things that are happening are so dramatic, you can't escape the possibility that we are dealing with the actual spirit of Antichrist. Slaughtering, it's happening all over. And you should note that even as we're on the precipice of what some have called genocide or the extermination of a large portion of our planet by evil people. In fact, the former vice president of Pfizer has said this may depopulate the earth by up to 2 billion people. That's his assessment, not mine. And he's not some dude in his basement talking, you know, conspiracy theories. This is the former vice president of Pfizer. There are thousands of doctors around the world trying to sound the alarm. Google is snuffing it out. Facebook is snuffing it out. Instagram is snuffing it out. Everybody's snuffing it out. We have an oligarch of globalists that are steering this narrative into exactly what they want. And you should know this as a Christian. You shouldn't be naive in this world. You should know what's happening. And you should also know that these big pharmaceutical companies aren't alone, because government agencies are enabling them. We have the FDA, we have the National Institutes of Health, the NIH, we also have the CDC. But you should recognize that these government agencies are as corrupt as the intelligence agencies, which we often liken to the deep state or the swamp. They are thoroughly and completely corrupt, because when people work for these government agencies, they just rotate out, and then they work for lobbyists, pharmaceutical companies afterwards. And when a new administration comes in, they go back. This happens all the time. It's called the revolving door. Everybody knows about it. In fact, the NIH, the CDC, and the FDA are almost and can be likened to subsidiaries of the pharmaceutical companies. They're the same thing. They're not regulatory agencies. They are promoting agencies. The NIH has a co-patent on the Moderna patent. They're co-owners of the patent. Do you understand that? They are business. They are conflicted. They're corrupted. They're not protecting you. In fact, they're sending our population like sheep to the slaughter. Drug company board members and executives go to work for the CDC, NIH, or FDA, and then they go back to their companies either as consultants or lobbyists, while others rotate in. It's an open secret. There's a revolving door between the government and drug companies. So don't think of the CDC as your defender. And when you try to find numbers on the CDC site, now you know why it's so ridiculously complicated. You're not supposed to understand the numbers. See, that's the reason for it. Now, on top of that, the new head of the CDC, Rochelle Walensky, she issued this statement on the day of her nomination, January 20th. Better days lie ahead, but to get there, COVID-19 testing, surveillance, and vaccination must accelerate rapidly. Now, does that sound ominous to anybody other than me? That COVID testing and surveillance, why are you using surveillance when it comes to sickness? And why are you saying that vaccination must accelerate rapidly? For a disease on par with the flu, surveillance is necessary? Think about the ramifications of that statement. She went on to illustrate how serious and focused the CDC was on health and disease by saying, in the very next line, we must also confront social and racial injustice. Listen, guys, this is political. It doesn't have to do with health. It doesn't have to do with disease. It doesn't have to do with safety. It's political. It's political. Big Pharma and the deep state are in bed together and have been sleeping with each other for many years. And the marriage of these drug companies with government agencies seem to be similar to that unholy romance that we see in Revelation chapter 17. Where you've got that whorish woman religious system wearing scarlet, and she's riding this monstrous beast, the Antichrist system that rises out of the nations. Ironically, in Revelation 17, she holds an intoxicating cup in her hands, whereby it says that the nations are deceived and made drunk on wealth. And then in chapter 18, verse 23 of Revelation, it says this of Babylon, your merchants were the great men of the earth, for by your pharmakia all the nations were deceived. By your pharmacy, by your drugs. This is how close we are in the last days. These companies are deceiving the nations. Every nation on planet Earth is about to lose sovereignty to these globalists. It's about to happen. When? I don't know. But the Bible tells us that as the Church of Jesus Christ, we are those who resist and restrain evil and the evil one. So it makes it easy for me. I understand my purpose and my role in these last days. I must be a resistor, a restrainer. I must stand against the tide. I don't go along with it. I don't promote it. That's why you're sitting here without masks. We do not abide this narrative, because it's a lie. And no matter what you say, it will still be a lie. And even if the government puts pressure on us to change, we will not change, because we will not facilitate and carry the water for the Antichrist. We won't do it. and we'll go to jail if we have to, which may happen. By the way, there is a law or a bill that's already passed by the Senate and the House, and it's sitting on the governor's desk that will make not wearing a mask a criminal offense that will put you in jail for 1 year. Starting to happen. He can cite it any time. He has till June 22nd, I believe, to notify whether or not he's going to veto it. If that date passes and he doesn't give that signal, then it will go into law with his signature or without it on July 6th, 2 days after, ironically, Independence Day. All the tickets that have been given out for the past year or so have been thrown out of court because they're not constitutional. The police have really no power at this point in time, but once it's codified into law, things get very serious. Similarly, the World Health Organization is compromised by the seductive lure of Big Pharma. They're conducting themselves as another tentacle of the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. You know, Bill Gates is the number one private funder of the World Health Organization. And every agency that is around or consults with them is flush with money from the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. And so Bill Gates is big into vaccines, but he's also into blocking out the sun, and he's also into farming, and now he's becoming the champion of climate change. Good buddies with the World Economic Forum, the ones who orchestrated all of this and with their help concocted this entire plan. But you see, they're corrupted and they have an agenda. You should remember that Bill Gates has been close friends with Anthony Fauci for virtually 45 years. Bear in mind that Bill Gates has spoken of vaccines in the context of population control. And right now, about 100 colleges across the United States have said that you cannot return to campus unless you've gotten this vaccine. Never mind that if you're 20 years old, you have only a 0.00001 chance of dying from COVID. You're virtually immune if you're, you know, under 30, essentially. And yet you see the push. It keeps pushing and keep pushing for children. Now, what about all of the women in that age? What's going to happen to their reproductive systems? Right now, they're saying that women are experiencing heavy blood flow in their menstrual cycles. It's messing with their reproductive system. Is it any coincidence that the masterminds and the evil geniuses that come up with vaccines are also talking about sterilizing people so that we can stop population growth? Virtually everybody is being told to get it. Pregnant, nursing, young people, recovered people. And they're being told to do so by virtually every government agency and media agency on the planet. Even pastors are getting into the mix. And this is where I get really mad, because these are my colleagues. They're seeing an enemy. They're standing on the wall as a watchman on the wall, and they see the enemy. But what they're yelling to those inside the city is, all's well. It's the 11th hour, and all is well. God have mercy on those pastors' souls. Aggressive attempts are being made to get evangelicals to embrace this. A couple of weeks ago, I mentioned to a friend of mine that it will be tragic, and I'm sure we'll see it soon, that when some religious organization or church virtue signals to the world by only allowing vaccinated people to their services. You don't think it'll happen? It'll happen. Sadly, a week later, even that same week, I heard of pastors still planning their trips to Israel where you cannot buy or sell without the vaccine. Essentially saying that if you want to participate with this trip, you have to take this to go. I'm overwhelmed with grief, imagining my own colleagues maybe unwittingly assisting in this effort. God have mercy on us. Hank Aaron died. Marvin Hagler died. Larry King died, all within days of getting the vaccine. Hundreds of others, thousands of others. And what you'll see is this thing is going to come out worse and worse and worse. The numbers have barely come out, and they're skyrocketing. But the more they come out and the more these government agencies push these vaccines, the greater their crimes will be. So I want to encourage you to be very mindful and tell your friends to be warned. You can catch COVID. You're not going to die. There are treatments. It's essentially 100% survivable if you have the knowledge of what to take and how to take care of yourself. There is literally and absolutely no reason to receive this vaccine. If you want to, you can. But don't stand before God and said, Pastor Bud told me to do this. Because I'm telling you to be very, very careful. Because this is a devilish program. And it's global. And it's a mark of the Antichrist. All right, so with that joyful introduction, at least I got it off my chest, right? At least I had to walk around all week with these thoughts on my mind. It's killing me. Any questions before we get into Revelation chapter 11? Fire away. We can open for them. This is church. Doesn't have to be a lecture.
Are you familiar with that?
It's uncanny how many things are just out there. They're happening, you know.
And so, what's going on in India?
In India, they're saying there's this massive surge, and there may be, but the thing about India is they distribute hydroxychloroquine like candy, like aspirin. The government issues it for families. So they do have a layer of defense therapeutically. But you have to remember that when you saw those videos from North Italy, that happens every year in Italy. You have to realize that. That has happened almost every year for the past decade because Italy's medical system is so shot and overrun. It's a government-run medical system. So with the flu, their hospitals are overcrowded. So we don't know the situation in India that they may simply not have hospital facilities and they are being overrun. And I don't know for sure, but I do know that everything will be used as leverage to promote it. So when you see it, you just say, okay, we'll see. But what I do know is that this has a fatality rate of 0.15 and the flu is 0.1. These are facts. Don't conflate the facts with hyperbolic news reports and headlines that are tweaked and perverted. And just be careful. Because the flu takes thousands of people's lives every year. It's normal. This is normal. Don't let something that happens and may happen on a regular basis be leveraged and conflated into something that, oh, now it's an emergency. You better do this. In Michigan, Governor Whitmer has put in a tier that when 55% of the people get vaccinated, then we can go outside without our mask. When 60%, then you can go to a restaurant. When 70%, she's got this thing so that at the end of the day, when people don't do it, it's them. It's your fault that we can't go back to normal. It's you anti-maskers and you anti-vaccination people. It's you guys, you're at fault. But I told you this last year, that is by design. The government has already stated in their studies that if you are vaccine hesitant, you are a top threat to national security in a time of a pandemic. You're already being painted as a target. Yes, Cheryl? Mm-hmm. And you know, in our e-bulletin this week, I sent out, there's so many videos and information out there that it can be overwhelming. And so I'm very sparing when I promote something. I watch a lot of things and I get sent some things and some are worth looking at or at least knowing of. But I watched a video this past week with a very well-known doctor and he gave a number of these statistics that I mentioned this morning, but also websites. There is a Barrington Declaration that is, I think over 60,000 doctors globally have signed on against this narrative. There are thousands of doctors speaking up. You're not hearing about it if you're in the narrow bandwidth of mainstream media. If you are addicted to Facebook and Google and YouTube, you will never hear these things because you have about 5 channels that is filtering information. You won't be able to hear them. So you have to find these things. You have to ask about these things. You have to research these things. You can't just be spoon-fed your information by Google. In fact, it's a well-known secret that if you Google some things, you will only get certain... Google VAERS. Google the VAERS system, and all you get, the first results are fact check. It's not true. It's not true. And it's a lie. It's a lie, yeah. It's a very difficult question, yeah. And I'm not exactly sure the answer. But I think the more that we highlight the facts and the information... Because my tendency is to preach against it. And inadvertently, I will condemn pastors that haven't taken a strong stand, and I don't want to do that. I want to win people. So the most important thing is to share information that is true. Tell people. I mean, weeks ago, I got a call from one of my closest friends, you know, who's a missionary in Japan, and his father is a wonderful man, wonderful believer, one of the elders in his church, and he got the shot and he died within a week or so. And then some other good friends, they asked me if I'd do a funeral for somebody that was healthy. They got the vaccine, but then they get adverse effects. But the family doesn't want to talk about it. It's embarrassing. Could it be that we did this and it happened to our loved one? They don't want to talk about it, and I get that. But still, we have to stand and we have to tell people, stop believing this. And we have to stand for the truth somehow or another. If it's just with facts, if it's just with information, that's one thing. But there's coming a time when we have to confront people and argue with them. Right now, and I would add this, you know, my daughter, she works at the bank. She's very polite. Oh, no, thank you. I don't want to get the vaccine. That's step one. Ultimately, it needs to be, how dare you try to push this on me? I will sue you. If I lose this job, we have to become aggressive, litigious, and militant, I should say. We have to become pushing back people. And it's delicate. It's very delicate. But we need to emphasize sympathy, and we need to emphasize facts. And then let the chips fall where they may. Because what's happening is there is a sifting happening in the church. There is a separation of the sheep and the goats. If people die with a vaccine, the Lord will judge them. They're Christians. They may go to heaven, but they may end their time on earth early. And we may be dealing with something that, you know, for all intents and purposes, Dietrich Bonhoeffer thought Hitler was the actual Antichrist for good reason. And so we have to ask ourselves the question, how should we then live if we exist within the framework of an actual unfolding Holocaust? What must I be as a Christian? I have to be one who sounds the alarm. I have to say it and let the chips fall where they may. But here's the thing. People don't care. You give them the truth, they don't want the truth. Praise God, I got to go to the beach yesterday. And I got to body surf for the first time in 2 months because of my shoulder surgery. But I had my boys out there and it was a good time. But one thing that is striking to me is that now that people have been let out of their lockdown or they're back on vacation, they're going back to the exact same things that they were doing before. More of the flesh, more sex, more drugs, more music, more parties. It's the same thing. Nobody is any more mindful. And the media doesn't want the truth. And I don't know if people do either. And that's where we need wisdom from the Lord. Some people will be open. And some people, it doesn't matter, because they're governed by fear. And that may be just because they're lacking the power of the Spirit, or it may be because they're misinformed. And the Lord will give you wisdom, though. And I think he'll give each one of us wisdom in each moment, because it may be different the way we react. And so the thing is, most of the time, it is the physician and the healthcare worker who witnesses it in person. Most people don't know. Most people don't even know about the system. Not even the nurses or doctors. So this is why they say that it's probably 1%. So, well, we have two doctors. One's an osteopath, and so he is less married to Western medicine. And the other, I'm not exactly sure what he thinks, but I think to a large part, many doctors, because the medical field is so systematized. And if you go against the system, you'll be put out of the system where there's safety and job security and so forth. So there was a dentist, or a doctor, was it a doctor or a dentist in Oregon, that early on said, this is ridiculous. I'm not making my staff wear masks and I don't make people. And they pulled his doctor's license. So people are scared, but they need to stand up, because this is how Hitler did what he did, because people were too afraid. And they just said, well, I was just following orders. That was probably one of the most common things that was heard at the Nuremberg trials. I was just following orders. And so when companies make people do these things, they're precipitating a greater slavery later. Inadvertently, they are complicit in this whole narrative. And there comes a point when you have to, in your business or wherever you are, to stand and just take the consequences. If it comes, take the consequences. And that's kind of the way we've been functioning as a church here. When persecution comes, it comes. And the community is going to hate you. But that's because they're too blind. They're not thinking. They're sucked into this thing. But we're called to be transformers in the world and not conformers. So I think in one way we should not be afraid to identify the enemy, even if it's not cool. If somebody passes away, I think that if it's within your purview or your family, I did a funeral for somebody. I didn't mention anything like that. But the friends of the family all said, yep, he got the vaccine and died. But within your own sphere, I think that you should be willing to say, the vaccine killed him. The system did it. And you might be ostracized, but all you need to do is say, in 1976,
a vaccine was pulled for killing 25 people. And right now, this vaccine has killed over 3,500 people. In the United States alone, in Europe, the number's about 9,000. It's unprecedented. It's never happened. And just let him sit on that. Because you have the facts. You have the truth. And when those are presented, what does a person do with that? When I tell people that a pandemic requires 6% of the deaths to be from that thing, and it's only been 3.5%, it didn't rise to the level of pandemic. It just didn't. By definition. We're not talking about opinion. We're talking about definition. And when you talk about a vaccine being pulled for 25 deaths, but this one not being pulled with over 3,500, then you have to just question the narrative. Why are they pushing this? And why are they pushing it on people that they would never push it on, people that have recovered from the disease or pregnant people? It doesn't make sense. And it's not wrong to question it. Oh, you'll be shamed. They'll scold you. They'll fact check you. They'll cancel your account. It's happening all over. And the thing is, everybody knows that it's happening. People have had their accounts canceled. I bet almost everyone in the room knows of somebody who people suspect, yeah, they got the vaccine and they died. Informal poll. How many of you know somebody that most likely got the vaccine and passed away? It's happening. And that will begin to come out more and more. And hopefully people will respond to it in the right way and say it's wrong. It's wrong. It's unnecessary. It's wrong. And you can only guess that because it's gone against all reason and logic and science, that it's diabolical. And if we are people that claim to stand on the truth, if we remain silent in a time like this, then our Christianity is not worth anything. It's just not worth anything. If we don't actually stand for the truth, then everything that we've said as Christians is empty. It's hollow words. It's popcorn stuffing, you know. You know when you get something in the mail that's surrounded by popcorn? That'll be the value of faith that doesn't stand when truth matters. The church is called the pillar and the ground of truth. And that means that we stand upon truth, but we also hold up truth. So we have to be rooted and grounded in the truth, and we have to uphold the truth, and we have to broadcast that. And we'll suffer. But it's okay. Because ultimately, we want to express the love of God through the truth. That's why the Bible says, speak the truth in love. Because it is hard, you know, and I think it's probably safe in the sense that it's hard to talk about this, so we will be very careful with our words. We don't need to blast people. We need to blast these agencies that are not serving people. We need to convince people that their God is not the government and their God is not some drug. That God is your God. You're creating the image of God. Nobody has a right to tamper with that or tinker with that. In fact, forced vaccinations or forced medical procedures were explicitly prohibited by the Nuremberg trials. By coercing people to take this at the threat of losing their job is a crime. That's a crime. And that's happening all over the place. Right? You understand that these things are happening and we're neck deep in it. We're drowning in these criminal acts. And the Bible tells us that lawlessness will abound in the last days. So this is part of the last days. So rather than not reading the scripture that we're going to study in second service, we're going to read through Revelation 11. And we'll spend some time in meditating on that. And then we'll come to the Lord's table and receive his body and his blood. John is told in Revelation 11, I was given a reed like a measuring rod, and an angel stood saying, rise and measure the temple of God, the altar, and those who worship there. But leave out the court which is outside the temple and do not measure it, for it has been given to the Gentiles. Now that word Gentiles is the word ethnos. It's the word nations. So it's been given to the nations. Think of that when you read through this, because I'm always reminded when I read the word nations in other versions and in other passages, somehow it just reminds me of the United Nations. So it has been given to the nations, and they will tread the holy city underfoot for 42 months. And in verse 3 it says, I will give power to my two witnesses, and they will prophesy 1,260 days. If you divide that by 30, that's 42. 42 months, or exactly 3.5 years based on a 360-day calendar. Now, God speaks about these two witnesses in verse 4 and says, these are the two olive trees and the two lampstands standing before the God of the earth. And you'd have to look at Zechariah chapters 3, 4, and maybe even 5 to understand that a little more. Zechariah, I'll explain it during the second service, and so you can come back. So or you can hang out if you want to stay. It speaks of the empowering of God on their lives. This is likely the prophet Elijah and either Moses or Enoch coming again, or they're just two prophets that the Lord raises up. In verse 5, it says, if anyone wants to harm them, fire proceeds from their mouth and devours their enemies. And if anyone wants to harm them, he must be killed in this manner. And so these are fire-breathing prophets. And this is very similar to 2 Kings chapter 1, when Elijah was up on a mountain and the king sent people to arrest him. And he said, oh, if I'm a prophet, then let fire come down from heaven and consume you. And so it did. So this description here in verses 5 and 6 is very similar to Elijah. Verse 6 says, they have power to shut heaven so that no rain falls in the days of their prophecy. Remember Elijah shut up the heavens? He said, there's not going to be any rain at my word. How long was that? It was for 3.5 years. And so these will probably be sort of the authors of a drought in Israel for the time that they're prophesying in and around Jerusalem. And so he says there that they have power to shut heaven. No rain falls in the days of their prophecy. And they have power over waters to turn them to blood. Reminds us of Moses. And to strike the earth with all plagues as often as they desire. So we read about these two prophets that God will send, likely to speak against the agenda and the narrative of the Antichrist. Likely to speak against his program of microchipping people so that they can buy or sell or participate in this new economy that will be set up, and your entry will be based on something that's injected to your right hand or your forehead. And so they will prophesy for these 3.5 years, 42 months, or as it says there in verse 3, 1,260 days. And when they finish their testimony, verse 7 says, the beast that ascends out of the bottomless pit will make war against them and overcome them and kill them. Remember that angel or that fallen angel, that star in chapter 9 that had a key to the abuso, the abyss, and he let out these foul spirits. Well, we read there that this beast, which is Satan, and he empowers the beast later in chapter 13 that rises out of the sea. We'll get to there in a little bit. But it says that when they finish their testimony, this satanic beast that ascends out of the bottomless pit will make war against them and overcome them and kill them. So they get killed only after they finished their testimony. And it says there, their dead bodies will lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where our Lord was also crucified. So the Lord likens the holy city of Jerusalem to the unholy cities of Sodom and Egypt. Sodom, a place of fleshly pleasures, and Egypt of commercial pleasures and so forth. And so God is speaking against Jerusalem in this way. And so they'll be there, you know, and in that culture, to be exposed after death and to not have a proper burial was even worse than dying for many people. And so it looks like their bodies are going to be left there because they've been preaching against this. And anytime they get attacked or confronted, you know, people just die. They get burned up somehow. And it says their dead bodies will lie in the street of that great city for 3.5 days. Verse 9, then those from the peoples, tribes, tongues, and nations will see their dead bodies 3.5 days and will not allow their dead bodies to be put into graves. They want them to be on display. But isn't that amazing how when this was written, this was impossible? You know, if somebody died 50 miles away from you, you wouldn't see their body ever, much less people from all over the world being able to witness this. So clearly our technological advances coming to where we are now, where you could see this wasn't possible before our recent history. So it says that they will not allow their bodies to be put in graves, and those who dwell on the earth will rejoice over them, and they'll make merry, and they'll send gifts to one another because the two prophets tormented those who dwell on the earth. So it's going to become like worldwide carnival, you know, Mardi Gras, party time. The prophets are dead, and people will send gifts. Now, isn't that amazing, though, that the scripture gives something that anybody reading this for the past 2,000 years would say, well, that doesn't make any sense. People can't send gifts within 3.5 days of seeing something that's happened thousands of miles away. The Bible doesn't make any sense, but it makes perfect sense to you now, right? Have you ever gotten one of those greeting cards, an e-card? As nice as they are, they're not really quite as good as the real ones, but you'll get it and you'll click on it and there's a little song. Forward this card. I just like the real cards with the stuff inside. You see if it drops out. You know, you get a birthday present. You want something to drop out, right? I want a real gift. But people send gifts this way, don't they? Or they send gift cards or promotions or whatever. And so all of a sudden we see that the world is now celebrating the death of these two prophets. And they have 3.5 days of celebration. But verse 11 says, after the 3.5 days, the breath of life from God entered them and they stood on their feet and great fear fell on those who saw them. But immediately I'm sure that it would be fact checked and the feed would be cut and it would be changed because God forbid anybody sees that. And they heard a loud voice. So here they are standing and they hear a loud voice from heaven saying to them, come up here. Remind you of chapter 4, verse 1, when John says, I saw a door open in heaven. I heard a voice like a trumpet saying, come up here. Those are the words of the rapture. Those are the words that we ought to hear when we hear the voice of the Lord calling us home in some tongue or language, whatever it is. The Bible says we'll be transformed in the twinkling of an eye. We'll be changed. We'll put on our new immortal bodies and we will be like Christ and we'll be caught up. Well, it says of these two, after they died, they resurrected. And they heard this voice and they ascended to heaven in a cloud and their enemies saw them. So apparently God does what he did when Jesus ascended, and he ascended slowly as their enemies see them ascending into the cloud. And then it says in the same hour there was an earthquake, a great earthquake, and a tenth of the city fell. So Jerusalem is rocked by an earthquake. And in the earthquake, 7,000 people were killed and the rest were afraid and they gave glory to the God of heaven. And the second woe is past. Remember that? We had three woes for the fifth, the sixth, and the seventh trumpets. Now here is the second woe, because what we are is we're in an interlude. In chapters 10, 11, 12, 13, and 14, they're an interlude in between the judgments of God rolling out. And so we have sort of this peak position where God is giving us some unfolding events during the succession of these judgments. He wants us to know what's going on spiritually, politically, commercially, what's happening in the world while God is unleashing his judgments from heaven. And so we read that there's going to be a witness. There's going to be an earthquake, but the woes are coming. Now, with the sounding of the seventh trumpet, this will trigger the release of the final judgment, which is seven bowls. Remember how the seventh seal triggered the sounding of seven trumpets, and now the seventh trumpet is going to signal the pouring out of seven bowls. And so with the sounding of this trumpet, it's a done deal. And that's why we read there, like the angel said in the previous chapter, chapter 10, that it's over. With the sounding of this seal, it's as good as done. So the seventh seal, or the seventh angel, I'm sorry, sounded his trumpet, and it says there were loud voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. And the 24 elders who sat before God on their thrones fell on their faces and they worshiped God. Listen to the lyrics of their song. We ought to have them in our own hearts. We give you thanks, O Lord God Almighty, the one who is and who was and who is to come. Because you have taken your great power and reigned. You know, we've been waiting. We've been waiting for a long time. Jesus has earned the right. He has purchased the earth. He gave us a parable in the Gospels where he spoke about a man finding out that there was a treasure in field. He went in a field that he learned of, and he sold everything he had so he might buy the field in order to get the treasure. There's a beautiful parable about how the Lord has purchased for us the church. He's purchased his people. But to purchase the people, he paid for the whole field, and that's the whole world. The price that he paid for your redemption will also redeem the earth. He owns the earth. It's his. We lost it in the Garden of Eden when we obeyed Satan. Remember, we ate the fruit. We became obsessed with knowledge of good and evil and knowledge in general, and we've been at war and rebelling against God ever since. Except for when he shows mercy by wrestling with us by the power of his Spirit. Judgment, his revelation, his word, prophets, those who teach what God says. But now that he has purchased, we wonder, Lord, how long? When will you take what is rightfully yours? We see it exemplified in David. Remember, David was anointed king. He was deemed king by God, but he wasn't king because there was still a man of the flesh, a sort of a small A antichrist in the Old Testament, King Saul, who persecuted David and chased him. Finally, he would come into his kingdom. And finally, Jesus will come into his kingdom, and it gives cause for great praise. And we'll say the same thing. Thank you, Lord, for finally taking up what belonged to you. That's what they say. We give you thanks, O Lord God Almighty, the one who is and who was and who is to come, because you've taken your great power and reigned. The nations were angry, and your wrath has come. And the time of the dead that they should be judged, and that you should reward your servants, the prophets and the saints. Did you know that you have a reward waiting for you just for being a saint or a prophet? And those who fear your name, small and great, and should destroy those who destroy the earth. So the reward is for those who fear the Lord, for his holy ones or his saints, and for those who prophesy or speak forth the word of God. And then at the end there of verse 18, it says that nations were angry because the time has come for God to judge those who are destroying the earth. God cares about the earth. It's his planet. I mentioned a couple weeks ago that the amount of masks being discarded every minute is 3 million. They say globally because it's such a problem. We're just dumping trash. We're making plastic and just dumping it everywhere. The polluting of the earth. God's going to deal with it. And then we have this interesting verse in verse 19. Then the temple of God was opened in heaven, and the ark of his covenant was seen in his temple. Now, we haven't read about the ark of the covenant since 586 BC. No mention of it. There's no New Testament mention of it, really. But the Ark of the Covenant was where God's word was stored, where the rod of Aaron, or the emblem of the empowering of the Holy Spirit, and the manna was stored. And it was the place where God met with his people. But it says there that the temple of God was opened in heaven, and the Ark of his covenant was seen in his temple. Now, Moses was told to make things that he had seen as a pattern. God showed him a pattern of the tabernacle or the temple, and he built that on earth. But in heaven, there's the real thing. So here is the original, and God reveals the Ark of his covenant. And there were lightnings, noises, it could be translated voices, thunderings, and an earthquake, and great hail. And so as there was a half an hour of silence with the breaking of the seventh seal, now we have this short pause as there's praise in heaven that the Lord is about to finalize his redemption. The temple of God is opened. The Ark of the Covenant is revealed, and God's going to bring his judgment. I want to just give you one thought before we approach the Lord's Supper. I'm going to have Chris come up and lead us in communion. But I want you to look at verse 7. This is the first section there. It says, when they finish their testimony. Before they were finished, they could not be touched. They were safe, secure. And it helps me to remember that the purpose that God has for my life will be done. They're an example that God will secure you and keep you and protect you and provide for you until you are finished with your purpose. While you are being the witness that he has made you be, you're untouchable. He has total power around you. And whatever comes your way, it's only that God has allowed it. But while you are in the midst of your testimony, you're impervious, invincible. These prophets are an example of incredible power. But also when the time comes for them to finish their witness, their final act is one of replaying the resurrection and the rapture. And so when your witness is finished, when the time comes, God willing, we'll go straight to the rapture. If there's persecution or suffering, it doesn't matter, because you'll be raised again and you'll be caught up together with God's people to meet the Lord in the air and to ever be with the Lord. And the Bible tells us to comfort one another with these words. And so we ask you, Lord, to bless the rest of our service and the second service, Lord. And we thank you this morning that we have the Lord's Supper, the communion before us. I'm so grateful for the good things you're doing in our lives, and we pray for wisdom As we deal with the world around us, Lord, teach us what we ought to say and how we ought to say it. The truth is, we don't really know. We're just your sheep. But Lord, what a great shepherd you are. Lord, we thank you that you've preserved us, and we pray that you'd let the truth prevail. And that wherever we are on the prophetic timeline, I know that I mentioned, Lord, that Dietrich Bonhoeffer some 90 years ago thought for sure that he was dealing with the Antichrist, and he was in a form. But that Antichrist spirit is still working, still moving, still dominating, still doing what the devil does. He's a destroyer from the beginning. He comes only to kill and to steal and destroy. But Lord, we thank you that you've written our names in the book of life, that we have hope. And we pray that you'd fill us with your spirit, that we might love one another and love those who are lost, that we would have the right words. But Lord, more than anything, that we might know you. And this morning, as we think about your body and your blood, we think of the price of redemption. Think of what you paid for our souls, but also to redeem the earth. And Lord, our hearts just overwhelmed with the words, you know, worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Oh Lord, you're worthy to be worshiped and praised. So we thank you this morning in Jesus' name. Amen.